Good morning. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we praise your name and give thanks for the privilege of worshiping you on this wonderful day. Please send your Holy Spirit to bless our service and give guidance to us all. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is the third Sunday of Advent, and the Advent season is all about celebrating the coming of Jesus the Messiah. This was an event long prophesied and anticipated. And last week, right here in the sermon, we heard about some of the many prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus' life and in the circumstances surrounding him. Some of those prophecies concerned another figure, a forerunner of Jesus. The prophets Isaiah and Malachi wrote about a messenger who would come ahead of the Messiah and prepare the way for the Lord and set the stage for Jesus. This messenger was John the Baptist. John was filled with the Holy Spirit even before he was born. The Bible tells of John's mother, Elizabeth, and Jesus' mother, Mary. Well, Mary, while pregnant with Jesus, came to visit Elizabeth, for they were cousins. Scripture says John leaped with joy while still in his mother's womb. An angel of the Lord had told John's father in Luke 1, 14 through 17. The angel said, "He will be a joy and a delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is to never take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." And he did. Now, John grew to be, an unconventional kind of man. He lived in the wilderness. He wore clothes made of camel hair. He had a leather belt. He ate locusts and wild honey. He really must have been a sight. Now, he preached saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is close at hand." Now, there were no miracles or signs in John's ministry. He preached the truth in spirit and power and passion. And he was always talking about another who would follow him and be much greater than he was. "I am not the Messiah," John said, "but I am sent ahead of him. He is coming. So turn away from your sin and turn to God." And it struck a chord. And large crowds of people from Judea and Jerusalem came to hear John and to be baptized in the Jordan River as a symbol of God's forgiveness of sins. Now the Apostle John wrote, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light." And remember, this happened after 400 years of no prophets in Israel. John the Baptist stirred things up. He created a buzz, so much that he attracted the attention of the temple authorities, the Pharisees, who sent people to find out what was going on out there in the desert. "Why are all these crowds going out there? What's up with this wild man?" They must have said that, right? So here's what happened. In John 1, 19 through 27. Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then, are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." Why did they ask him if he was Elijah? Because there's a prophecy that Elijah was coming before the Messiah. And the spirit and power of Elijah was in John, the angel said, so this fulfilled that prophecy. "Are you the prophet?" they asked him, and he answered, "No." Why did they ask him if he was the prophet? Because Moses said back in Deuteronomy that God told him there would be a mighty prophet to rise up before the Messiah. And he answered, "No." Then they said to him, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as the prophet Isaiah said." Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. The part about the sandal means John considered himself not even worthy to be the slave of the one who is to follow. And one day, not long after that, Jesus came to John and asked to be baptized. John refused at first, saying, no, you need to baptize me instead. You've got it backwards, Jesus. But Jesus said this must be done to fulfill all righteousness. So John baptized Jesus. And the Spirit of God came down, touched Jesus, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So imagine how this made John feel. He was overjoyed. He said in John 3:29-30, he who has the bride is the bridegroom. That's Jesus. But the friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. You might say John at this point had completed his mission. And what a mission. But he continued preaching and baptizing and praising Jesus. John revered Jesus. He was always pointing to Jesus. He wasn't looking for glory for himself. He said, Jesus is the Lamb of God who has come to take away the sin of the world. Then John got on the bad side of the king and was thrown into prison. Now, at this point, John needed a little reassurance from Jesus at the end of his life when things were looking bleak, and Jesus provided it gladly. Jesus himself spoke of John in this manner in Matthew 11:7-11. As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. John was definitely not swayed by the wind, being blown this way and that by whatever came along. He held steadfast to the truth of God's message for the world, no matter what pressures came along. John was not sitting in a palace in fine clothes either. He was not caught up in luxuries of the world. John was a prophet, and more than a prophet, because he prepared the way for Christ. Jesus said so. Also, and this is very high praise, Jesus said there was none greater up to that point than John the Baptist among those born of women. That includes Moses, Abraham, David, and Samuel, and the list goes on and on. It's like a hall of fame of God's people. But none were greater than John the Baptist. When Jesus talks about you while you're still living, as John was then, that's something else. That's a remarkable thing. Put yourself in John's leather belt for a minute and consider how we would all feel if Jesus said that about us. I'd be feeling pretty good. But Jesus doesn't end there. He goes on to say, yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So none were greater than John of those who lived under the old law and old covenant, and there's many strong servants of God in that number. There's a lot we don't understand, but we do know that the new covenant, the new gospel that Jesus brings, this new age that the Son of God ushered in with his death on the cross and his resurrection, offers a far greater gift. What greater honor could anyone ask here on earth than to be the herald of the Son of God? And even have the privilege of baptizing Jesus. Yet even that pales before the opportunity given to us through Jesus Christ, which is available to all believers to be grafted into the family of God and be co-inheritors with Christ in his kingdom. That opportunity is before us all right now. Out of love, Jesus came and died for the forgiveness of our sins. He offers living water to all those who believe. John baptized with water, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. And we don't have to go to the desert for that baptism, because we can find Jesus anywhere. So while Jesus praised John, he also included us, because his kingdom is open to us all. If we believe in him, if we put our trust and faith in him, if we obey his will, our sins will be washed away, just as though we'd never sinned. And we will have eternal life in God's heavenly kingdom. This is the promise of Advent, and that is why we celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ, who, as John said, was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world. So let's close with a prayer. Almighty God, please bless and touch the hearts of everyone here. Please guide and direct us in your holy ways so that we may serve you better and always be growing in our faith and obedience. May the world know that we are your disciples by how we love one another. Thank you for your precious free gift of grace and salvation through the death and resurrection of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we offer our prayer in the name of Christ. Amen.